Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Fuel Radio. Stories, art, prayer, action, and generosity to transform your heart. Now, here's your host, Rod Jantz.
Hi, this is Rod Jantz, and on the phone with me today is Dr. George Durant. George is the president of Teach Beyond. They have offices all over the world, but their headquarters are now in Bloomingdale, Illinois. And before that, Dr. Durant was the president of Ambrose University College for 12 years. And before that, he was the director of Black Forest Academy in Germany. And there's a connection there with Teach Beyond that maybe we'll get into a bit later. But thanks for joining me, George.
It was very nice to be with you, Rod.
And before we got on the air, George and I were just discussing whether we should mention that we're related or not. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that. George is my uncle. He's married to my dad's sister. So we've known each other for a long time. And I think I might have even been a candlelighter in your wedding. I'm not sure.
Well, I vaguely remember that, Rod. And I must say that marrying your aunt was surely the best thing that I've done since my own decision to follow Christ, but that was a great, great moment. Still is. I think we're some 37, 38 years now, and we were telling each other yesterday how it seems odd, but we're one of those couples that doesn't like to be apart for even a minute. So that's what can happen when you really love someone.
Yeah, oh, that's good. I have a question for you. I went to one of your information sessions here about a year ago, and I was just blown away by what Teach Beyond was doing around the world. And I thought maybe before we get into Teach Beyond, maybe you could just talk about the scope of education around the world. I mean, the thing that I was blown away by was just how immense the opportunity is and how much it's needed, and also how helpful education can be to a developing nation. So maybe you could just talk in broad terms, first of all, about Teach Beyond.
Right. Well, in our byline, we call ourselves or say that we're committed to transformational education services, and you've isolated the key word in there, and that's education. We put ourselves on an education platform 3 years ago because we had come to realize two very important things. One was that God was really blessing the educational initiatives that we'd been involved in over the last, 10 or more years. And the second thing that had really come to our attention was that education was something that was treasured everywhere in the world. It didn't matter whether a country was early on in its industrial development or whether it was a mature economy, everywhere education was revered, and it provided an open door into all kinds of societies, cultural settings that were otherwise closed for those of us who have a biblical worldview. And we felt that through this particular medium, we'd be able to have a tremendous impact on individuals and through them societies. And yes, education is a tremendous opportunity. International education is a great opportunity. The statistics are staggering about what is happening around the world in terms of these schools that are being set up where the local people are looking for a kind of education that reaches international standards, and that includes English, which is something that those of us from North America are able to provide on top of some of the principles of education that we've learned in our university settings and experience over time. But we can see these national, international schools coming together. And the whole idea that an international school is just for expatriates who travel around the world is gone. And what we have now are, by and large, students from the local country, the local economy, aspiring to an international quality of education. And it's true from a small village setting to the largest cities in the country. And in our case, we're getting requests on a weekly basis for us to come and help, and not help with, oh, an isolated school here, an isolated school there, but, for example, in one case that's on my mind at the moment, to help with 18,000 schools in a country in Africa. So you can see that there's a tremendous desire on the part of developing countries to share in this one element that they still really respect from the West, and that is education.
So would you say that, is there sort of a, when you talk about 18,000 schools, is there sort of a teacher shortage around the world? Like, do we need more teachers worldwide?
That's an interesting question. You know, there are teachers, and then there are teachers. We would say this in Canada as well as anywhere else in the world, that we know a quality teacher when we see one, or go back to our own days in school, we can quite easily identify a teacher who's good and who isn't. And in most of these countries, I would say there isn't a shortage in the sense that there are a lack of bodies, but there are at least two principal problems that you see everywhere. One of them is that education is underfunded, is significantly underfunded. So you don't have the people with ability, or maybe I should say training, because I think there's a lot of ability there that hasn't been tapped, but people with sufficient training going into education, it's just not worth it. It's far better if they go into business. It's far better if they go into some profession. And so you don't have breadwinners, or can I say the principal breadwinner in a family situation becoming a teacher, because there just simply isn't enough money. And this can be this story can be replicated in dozens of countries. I've been in many, many countries over the last couple of years, and I've seen that story told over and over. And the other thing that is true, so there's an underfunding, and you're getting, I would say, underqualified people then. The corollary with that is that the training that is required is a minimum. So it'll often be that there is a kind of sort of teacher training program embedded in a high school. And when a child, most typically a girl, gets to be about 16, she is tracked into a teacher training track and finishes her high school with her diploma, but her diploma includes a kind of a permission to teach children, and it will perhaps be up to the age of 12 or 14 or something like that when a lot of kids drop out. So you have really, you know, maybe something a little analogous to what we had in the frontier 100, 150 years ago in Canada, where your grandfather and my father-in-law had 1 year of training outside of high school. He went to what we called normal school, and then at 19, he's immediately set into a classroom and is expected to be a first-rate teacher in a schoolroom where you've got 12 different classes and all kinds of ability and background and so on. Well, this is being replicated everywhere now across the world, where everyone gets the need for education, but they aren't either able or willing to put the provisions in place to address that need.
Interesting. So I know that Teach Beyond, you didn't just start it from scratch, that it was born out of another organization. So maybe you could just give us a short history of Teach Beyond.
Yes, it's a great history. It's a history of a family that was passionately committed to loving people and to introducing them to Christ inviting people to follow Christ, and it all started there in Canada. It started on the Canadian prairies. Maybe seems a little unlikely that out of the Canadian prairies comes an organization that today is growing very rapidly. I think we will be well over 400 people serving in various countries now this year, and I have to kind of pinch myself that it happened right where I grew up on the prairies there. But that was when I was a little boy. There was a quartet that was representing Prairie Bible Institute. It's called the Jantz Quartet. And these were men, well, and their wives, who were from a Mennonite background, had the German language, had a deep compassion for Europe, and more specifically the German-speaking elements in Europe, which had been so devastated in the Second World War. And after the war, there was a spiritual hunger, and a call came from those who were working in Europe. Would there be some who had German background who could come and help with the what we call the harvest, this evangelistic harvest that was taking place? And these four men and their wives and their children left Canada and started in southern Germany and Switzerland. And God blessed that work just in an astonishing way. And even to this very day, when we're in Germany, we will be running into Christian groups here and there that have a close allegiance to the Jantz team, to the quartet that originally came, and then the subsequent work that followed up from that. One of the things that had to happen when this group went overseas was that their children needed to be educated. And the thought was that this could be a somewhat transient posting. It was in a German environment, but they thought, well, today we're in Basel, tomorrow we may be in Frankfurt, and the next day we'll be in Berlin. And so they had to figure out a way to educate their children who went with them in some of these early crusades. And then the thought was, well, maybe we are going to be returning to Canada periodically and so on. So what do we do? And because a number of them had been educators, they'd been teachers, they said, well, you know, we had a great system in Saskatchewan long before there was internet and other creative ways, IT ways of solving educational problems. There was the old correspondence course. And there were a lot of rural places in Saskatchewan that relied on a correspondence program that was set up in Regina by the Department of Education. And Adolf, your great uncle, said, well, that's a curriculum that is quality. Let's bring it over to Germany. And these kids were then taught in the Saskatchewan curriculum, but it was such a quality curriculum that other agencies, mission agencies working in Central Europe said, well, couldn't we send our children to your little home school? And one of your great aunts said, well, that'd be fine. And so the little kitchen became a living room, and then it became the studio, and then they had to rent a little factory, and it grew and grew. And out of that came what is now known as Black Forest Academy, one of the premier MK boarding schools in the world. And it's an amazing thing what God can do with a small thing, you know, this little home school. But as this school grew, and as the preaching ministry and music ministry began to, wind down, it became clearer and clearer that God was wanting us to use education as a platform to do ministry, not only in Europe, but in South America, now in Africa and Asia and elsewhere, South Asia. So as I was saying earlier, 3 years ago, we made the decision to change the name from Jantz Team to Teach Beyond, just to kind of help people understand right away what it is we're about. We're using teaching and education as a way of introducing people to Christ and seeing them grow and mature. And the moment we changed the name, it was about 2 months later, we saw that we were getting 10 times as many hits to our website as we were in the days before. and we're using the name Dance Team. So it's been a phenomenal growth since then.
Yeah, great. So, up to 400 people serving worldwide. What was it like before the name change, or how many people were serving in the ministry before that? Do you recall?
Well, I think we could, 3 years ago, we could say that we had about half that many. So it's basically doubled since then. But it's not so much the numbers, but it's two other things that have been happening that kind of go along with that. It's the fact that we're now serving in some 30 countries, whereas before we were probably serving in half a dozen. And the other thing is that we're seeing such a diverse educational opportunity. A lot of people think, okay, education, you're talking about children sitting in a classroom. And there's certainly that. We've got lots of schools that we're now serving, and I wouldn't even want to give you an exact number, but approximately 30 to 40, somewhere in there. Not only are we serving those kinds of schools, K-12 type schools, but there are some people now working in universities and seminaries, and we have language learning camps and centers and things like that. So we've been diversifying in terms of where we serve and the kind of educational offering that we have. That's why we talk about services rather than just a service, namely sort of K-12 classroom service.
What are some of the exciting projects and developments in the organization that that have happened recently?
Well, there's something exciting happening everywhere. I would say in every country there's something to get excited about, but we don't have that long to talk. And I would say the one that I referenced earlier is certainly an exciting project. It's down in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and in the country just to the north of it, in the Central African Republic, we've got two countries in the very heart of Africa, generally thought of as some of the most disadvantaged countries in the world, poorest countries in the world, according to the United Nations. But there's a phenomenal story that's emerging there. Something has come about in the last few years. It's nothing to do with us. We're just being swept along with it that should make the church global stand up and cheer. There are about 18,000 schools under the jurisdiction of 64 Protestant denominations. The Catholics have a kind of equal number. And then there are some in the public system as well. But the quality schools are these Christian schools that have become nominal Christian schools. Over the last few decades, there was a loss of vision. And the bishop who is the administrative overseer, really, of these 64 denominations, he has asked the Association of Christian Schools International to come alongside the teachers in the Democratic Republic of the Congo to help what he calls recycle the teachers. What we would say is provide some professional development that helps them really come to understand what Christian or biblical education is and what it can really mean for children. He said, you know, the kids, and they educate one-third of all the children in the Congo, they come in pagans and they're leaving pagans. Well, we wouldn't perhaps use this kind of language, but you understand what I'm saying. These are people who were hardly touched by the Christian presence in these schools. And he has said, with the support of the delegates of all these denominational schools, this has to stop. This has to be. These have to become thoroughly Christian schools where people come to really understand a Christian worldview and achieve to the highest standard that God calls us to have. You know, it doesn't mean it has to be looking like a Western school, not at all. But it has to be the very best it can be in that context, and all from a Christian worldview. So we have an opportunity to establish some teaching schools for this massive project that is pulling all kinds of organizations and people together. Our particular niche is to train dedicated teachers for premier or model schools that will be situated in each of the provinces, so that as the big professional development program is going on, there is a kind of show and tell experience where they can come in and see what is going on in pilot or model schools. And then those who come in can in turn go into more distant remote towns and cities and train those that are unable to get into the provincial capital or the national capital, which is Kinshasa. And we're seeing the same kind of story up in the Central African Republic, where there is a school of 1,250 that's linked to a major seminary there, which is becoming a lead school for the country and becoming a training center for Christian teachers. And it's our privilege to help them think through what it means to be, can I say, doing Christian education at its best from an African standpoint. So we're certainly not importing something from North America or Europe. This is something that is being thought through by the Africans, but we have the responsibility to mentor and coach them and work with them. And it's phenomenal. These are great educators, brilliant people with a great heart of love for the Lord and a huge countrywide vision. I mean, this is not, you know, how can I have a nice, how can we graduate kids who will have a nice white picket fence around their house? How can we graduate the prime ministers and the ministers in our country and the leaders of our churches and in our societies and the mayors? And how can we turn around these countries that are in dire need of, can I say, revolution in the right way? And the way to do it is through education. And we just are so honored to be a part of that. It's just terribly exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And you're not just talking about one school. You're talking about an entire country with the same vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. That's great. On your website, you talk about transformational educational services. And obviously, you've kind of touched on that just now with the story that you just told. But what are some of these services, and what does transformational mean?
Yes. Well, the services range from the K-12 kind of teaching things that are I've been referencing. Teacher training is another thing that we're doing. So we have a very nice team of international educators who are working with teachers in various countries and helping them upgrade their teaching skills and come abreast of sort of the best in quality education around the world. And then we have some people who are teaching English at university level, and also in camps and in centers and so on. You have a cousin who's working in a closed country in Southeast Asia, and they have an opportunity there to use English as a means of reaching out. And this, of course, is a very common tool today for providing services for people who want an introduction to English, but they're also willing to rub shoulders with people who are free to testify to their own faith and who they are as people. You can't do evangelism, but you're always free to be able to talk about your own faith if you're asked. And it's proven to be very effective. And in one closed country, we've seen two churches started, and these churches are now trying to launch church planting initiatives in other closed countries around them, and it all grew out of just English camps. So that's another service. As far as transformational is concerned, you know, in the Bible we see the Holy Spirit talking to us about the complete renewal of the mind, and we see that old things are becoming new through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, when we talk about transformation, we're just talking about these ancient biblical principles of holistic transformation, where your heart is changed, your mind is changed, and as a result, you're going to be a change agent in the society in which you live. So it's transformation that begins with the individual so that they become increasingly like Christ, and that in turn becomes transformational in the world around them.
Great. So what kind of things are happening in the future, or what does the future look like for Teach Beyond?
Well, we are praying that God will allow us to be catalysts for a movement of transformational education, a movement of people in many countries who seize the opportunity that God's given to us in this medium of education and say, well, yes, through these wide open doors and this wonderful way that we have of communicating a Christian worldview and truth, we can see people come to Christ and change. And we think that there are thousands of people who are like this, who want to use this medium and who understand this gift that God has given to us. And we would like these people to be coming together globally, praying together, planning together, developing leadership in international quality education. So I don't think the Christian church should be lagging behind. We should be at the forefront of education everywhere. And as we are becoming known in various countries and start to work with other organizations in these countries, there is a tremendous energy that's flowing where people are, by the hundreds and thousands, are coming together and saying, let's use this medium under the direction of the Holy Spirit to be a great blessing to our country and to see people come to love Christ. So our hope and our prayer is that if you were to talk to us a few years down the way, that we wouldn't be talking about 400 or even a few hundred more, but rather that we were partners with and linked to thousands of people who across the globe are asking God for the privilege of using education to see men and women, boys and girls, come to love Christ and grow to be like Him.
Excellent. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so we should let people know how to get in touch with you if they'd like more information about Teach Beyond. How do they go about doing that?
Well, the simplest thing for most people is just to Google Teach Beyond, and you'll go straight to our website, which is teachbeyond.com. So there's not a problem finding us. And the opportunity to help, well, that's a great question. Thank you so much. Our number one need, of course, is prayer. If people would be praying that God would open up the doors of opportunity. And, you know, He is. And so the second prayer request is, well, Lord, thrust out your people into that harvest field, because there are just so many opportunities, and we have to tell agency after agency and group after group, you know, we're sorry, we're only sending 85 or 90 new people this year. We're very embarrassed about that. You know, we should be... We should be sending 10 times that many. I know that sounds outrageous, but to be honest with you, there are just so many opportunities, and we need people to pray that God will, as it says in His Word, that He will thrust these people out. And then we need people who will go, of course, and there are opportunities, yes, for educators, but all the support structure that's needed in any kind of an educational environment, people from IT to communication, you know, there's, think of a school, if you will, or think of university and the kinds of different skills that are required. Well, we need all of those kind of people in various countries of the world to support this endeavor and to be coaches and mentors of others with similar skills in these developing countries. And then the last thing is that we can't do these things without financial resources. So there's a way to participate if one would like to do that on our website. And it could very well be that you would want to link up with somebody who's thinking about going overseas and helping to support them. What a tremendous investment that would be in eternity and for the kingdom. So those would be some of the ways that are on my mind and heart, Rod.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining me, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I just love how everything you do like to 1,000%, and you do it so well.
Well, I'm doing it more as I get older, Rod. I didn't start out that way. Now I'm 60, and it's getting more exciting.
Well, it's super exciting what you're doing. Yeah.
Thanks
you for
so
joining
much.
Me.
Great being with you.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fuel Radio.